And good morning, KRFY listeners. I'm Susie Prez here in the KRFY studios, and thanks for tuning in to the morning show today, Wednesday, July 10th. And I'm really excited about our interview today for the morning show. Today we'll be talking with Daniel Holland, Director of Imaging and Diagnostic Services at our Bonner General Health, and Shannon Barnes, also from Bonner General Health, the Chief Human Resource Officer. We'll be covering a lot of information, news about this vital regional healthcare hospital and service center or service system. So welcome, Shannon.
Thank you very much, Susie.
Thanks for coming in today. And welcome, Daniel.
Hey, thank you for having us. Appreciate it.
And just a reminder, if you don't get to hear the whole interview today, this is being recorded with Bonner General Health. And you can find it on our website later in the day at krfy.org. So let's get to it. Why don't we start with an introduction? You both have worked at the hospital for a while. Just tell us a little bit about yourself and the position that you hold there at not just the hospital. We're going to correct that. This is the Bonner General Health System. And there's a reason for that correction. It's not just a hospital, it's a whole system. So Shannon Barnes, why don't we start with you?
Thank you, Susie. I've been with Bonner General Health in the role of Chief HR Officer for just about 7 years. I've been in the community here in Sandpoint almost 19, so this has been an exciting transition for me over the last 7 years. And my role as Chief HR Officer is really about finding ways to ensure that the work environment at Bonner General Health allows us to have our employees deliver their best and highest performance possible. So all things related to the hiring and creating a great environment for folks working there fall under my purview.
Okay, so it's a big job.
Well, one could say that, sure.
Okay. And really, retaining and having healthy and happy employees is vital for any, especially a healthcare system.
Absolutely.
You know, because it's a feeling environment, too. So, Daniel Holland, you are the Director of Imaging and Diagnostic Services.
That's correct.
Tell us a little bit about you and your job.
Sure. I've been at Bonner General for about 12 years. I started out as a staff technologist in radiology, and about 7 years ago, I took over as Director of Diagnostic Imaging. That particular job kind of oversees anywhere an image is used to either diagnose or to provide guidance for interventional procedures within the hospital, as well as our outpatient services. So that would include anything that's happening in the HSB area, health services building, that building that's connected to the hospital by that beautiful sky bridge. And then as well as in our orthopedic clinic, Bonner General immediate care, anything coordinating with the ED or inpatient care. As well, about 18 months ago, I took over overseeing laboratory services as well. So kind of a slow expansion of what I'm doing and trying to help provide continuity between all of our ancillary services.
So that's where the diagnostic part of your job description comes in.
Exactly.
It sounds like it's evolving all the time.
Yep.
Because our hospital is evolving. Mm-hmm. Not our hospital, again, health services. When did that change, by the way, from Bonner General Hospital to Bonner General Health Services or System?
So that was in about 2015. And what we really wanted to think about was as our community's needs were expanding, we really wanted to transition from being a place where people thought about coming to have injuries supported or if they were ill, to really inspiring the health and wellness of our community. So therefore, the change occurred a little while ago and such that we've continued to expand our wellness offerings. And Daniel will talk a little more about that.
Yeah. It's definitely, go ahead, Daniel.
Yeah, and to add to that, in 15 was when we opened the health services building. And I think that really was a pretty drastic change in our kind of just our look, our branding, kind of how we interacted with the community, really set up that more feeling of a health campus versus just a hospital.
I think everyone felt that. It definitely changed. There was the physical therapy, several different physical therapy things you could go to. And then, so the travel to Coeur d'Alene became less. Mm-hmm. More doctors from Coeur d'Alene were coming in to set up, you know, appointments and stuff with people mm-hmm. that needed it. Okay, so that's a little bit of an overview of that. But we really want to talk about... you have a 75th anniversary coming up. That's kind of why we invited you in. We definitely want to talk about that. It's on Friday. But I think we should look at a little bit more of the history. We've kind of touched on a few of the things from way back. Let's just go back and start and see how we have evolved and mm-hmm. why, maybe.
Sure. So a lot of people don't know our original building was actually a infirmary from the Farragut Naval Training Station. And so that was actually barged up to its kind of where the hospital currently is in 1949, had to trek about 25 miles to get to where it sat and was used up until 1973. 1973 was actually when they made kind of that main middle section of the hospital, which I think a lot of us who grew up here, when we think of the hospital, think of what that looked like from that 1973 building. You know, what's interesting, that population of who we served at that point, it was 26,000 people in 1973. It's grown quite a bit since then. We'll get to talk about that as well. 1978, we added on surgery, ICU and radiology services, so x-rays. The 80s really kind of marked a transition into kind of expanding services. You saw mammography drop in 85. They added in CAT scan or CT, depending on what you hear, in 1989. And they added on the ER in 1988. So that was a huge growth period for the hospital. The 90s, we started expanding, adding in additional outpatient services, highlighted with, you know, 1997, we added in physical therapy. We added on the west wing of the hospital, which is where the helipad sits currently. That was in 98. 2000, we dropped in MRI. 2005, we added in the immediate care, which has had a huge impact on just a lot, giving better access to care to people who maybe don't have primary care or just have, you know, nicks, cuts, colds in order to go in and get care quickly without having to go to the emergency room. 15, as we stated already, was, I think, one of those transitional points for us, adding in the health services building, really kind of setting up that feeling of a campus, having all of those services mainly in one central location with that connection to the hospital as well. 2021, we actually did 13,000 COVID vaccinations, which was pretty incredible. That was a hospital-wide push for all of us together to ensure that we, you know, provided that service and provided the gap that we saw our community needing. Since then, we've been really kind of, you know, expansion on outpatient services, expansion on, you know, critical areas for diagnostic and primary care. We've added in lots of additional providers, which we can kind of look at as well. We've added in a second CT scanner, a second mammography machine, an exoskeleton and physical therapy. It's been a pretty crazy ride the last couple of years, a lot of expansion.
So what has guided this expansion, say the last 10 years? Need or increased growth in our community?
Sure. Both, actually.
Yeah.
I would say, you know, one of the challenges that I think Bonner General's always had, and I think always will have, is we serve a rural population, which by definition is at risk. So the time, distance, and access to service are impacted just with proximity of our service population. You know, our service population generally sits as a 3,000 square mile area of people, starting about Athol, going all the way up to the Canadian border, kind of northwestern Montana, northeastern Washington. As I said before, the population in 73 for that service population was about 26,000. Well, Bonner County now is 52. Boundary County is 13 plus. And then you add a couple thousand here and there on those outskirting. We're right around 65 to 70,000 permanent residents that we serve. So that in itself, you know, necessitates change. And really understanding what areas are going to have those largest impact to, you know, quality health outcomes. For instance, when you look at mammography, if you don't have access to screening services, you have higher incidence of cancer. So, you know, that's an easy way that we can put capital into the hospital, provide an additional service that we know is going to have a direct tie to better patient outcomes for our at-risk population.
I think you just gave us a mission statement. Is there an official mission statement? Because a hospital is a nonprofit, I imagine. And so it's a service organization.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you know, that really is our goal. And I think, in fact, being a community hospital really allows us to deliver on exceptional patient care. We are not owned by a larger hospital system in a different community. We are actually an independent nonprofit community hospital headquartered here with our senior leader team and many, many of our employees living right here in the Sandpoint area. So it does give us the ability to really understand the patients that we're caring for and provide a very, very high quality care.
I think our demographics and our physical geography really influences the fact, kind of by bringing some of those services in, because we don't have another one. Like Coeur d'Alene and Spokane are 35 miles away on a highway. Mm-hmm. We've got a different way of having to go south to get healthcare. Mm-hmm. Bonner General Services health system is really looking at what is needed and providing it for the people here. And you're talking about a lot of people. So have you found that it's, you're able to, you know, handle that population needs?
Yeah, it's, that's been, at least for imaging and laboratory services, that's been the struggle, is to try to ensure that we have enough access to provide the growing community. For instance, we've seen mammography increase by over 20% since 2019. We've seen CT increase almost 40% since 2019. We've seen MRI increase by almost 40% since 2019. And that's a fairly steady growth curve to what happened the previous 5, 6, 7 years as well. So it's been a fairly just steady rise in what we have to do in order to adapt in order to take care of that community.
And I think from a service line perspective, we've really looked at how do we deliver wellness services, health services such as family practice, internal medicine, women's health services, behavioral health services, orthopedics. So we have a really wide range of service lines. And the goal of those really is to, kind of as Daniel said, provide care for the larger population, but also keep people from having to travel long distances to get the care they need. So that's been a focus of ours over the last 5+ years.
Right. Well, we could talk about the scope of those services right now, or we could talk about your celebration coming up. But I think in order to celebrate, you have to really know what you're celebrating. And it's quite phenomenal, it appears to me. I mean, when you need the services that this has, like an ER, you said that the emergency room only came in 1988. What happened before that?
That's exactly. And that's one of those glaring holes that needed to be filled. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I believe even up through the 90s, there wasn't even an ER doctor in 24/7. They would call the ER doctor in if there was something that needed to be done.
So now there's someone on in the hospital?
24/7.
Really?
Yes.
That's big.
It is.
Yeah.
And that's been probably for about the last 20+ years, but that's that statement of the evolution and the growth of the community, the needs changing, mm-hmm. and then Bonner General adapting to those changes.
To have a ER doctor on call 24/7, how many ER doctors do you have or are they physicians outside, or are they dedicated ER doctors? How many would you need personnel-wise?
The group itself is a private practice that we contract with, and they, I believe they're 6 or 7 deep now. They've been recruiting. I mean, we're all growing at a fairly rapid rate. But I think there's 6 or 7 now that are part of that group, and they do spend some time at some other hospitals as well in the area, but they primarily, we see them at Bonner General.
And so if there's a low time, there's no emergency right now, but we've got 2 doctors on call who are there, physically there, mm-hmm. they probably have other duties they can do at the hospital.
Yeah, I don't think we have times where we don't really have patients anymore. I think that's pretty much all the time. And then we certainly see, you know, we're right now in that peak tourist season, and we do see our population boom during this time, which puts a large additional, you know, pressure on specifically our emergency care, our immediate care, and then the diagnostics that are used in order to diagnose for those patients.
Okay, so let's just go through the services.
Sure.
The picture of our rural, I'm still feeling like we're rural.
We are. We are rural.
Health care system called Bonner General Health.
Yeah, and so a couple things to note is, so we are a critical access hospital, which means we're a 25-bed cap hospital. And so to look at what our services are, especially from that outpatient perspective, is, I think, fairly impressive. Those of us that are here at Bonner General and who get to see other, you know, critical access hospitals, we generally describe ourselves as a critical access hospital on steroids. We have a lot of services. You know, from an outpatient clinic perspective, we have an anticoagulation clinic, behavioral health, family practice, immediate care, infusion and procedures, internal medicine, occupational therapy, ophthalmology, orthopedics, physical therapy, Sandpoint Women's Health, and speech therapy. In-house hospital departments, we have an acute inpatient care, a critical care unit, diabetes nutritional education, our emergency department, laboratory services, pharmacy, surgical services, transitional care services coming soon, diagnostic imaging services, CT, DEXA, which is bone densitometry, echocardiography, fluoroscopy, mammography, MRI, nuclear medicine. We have a paracentesis clinic, ultrasound, x-ray, cardiopulmonary services, and they have a lot of different services that they provide our community as well. And they're in the hospital, in the throes of the ER and inpatient, our inpatient acute care unit, and then as well as doing outpatient services.
From that list, it seems like you have a legitimate reason to celebrate 75 years anniversary.
Mm-hmm. And to think that we started out as a small log cabin that they moved down Lake Ponderé.
Are there pictures of that at the museum, probably?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That would be a whole program just talking about the decision to make that move and that whole move exactly on a boat like that. Mm-hmm. So that's what is being offered. The list was long, and I was trying to write down some things that kind of hit me. Transitional care just came up. What does that mean?
Mm.
So transitional care, we have at times we have patients that are in our hospital that are waiting to have, that aren't quite ready to go home, needing some additional time, whether it be staying in the hospital or transitioning to a rehabilitation center. But as you can imagine, the demands for these rehabilitation centers are quite high. And so what we're working towards and should be up and running here sometime this summer or early fall is what we call transitional care swing beds. And what that means is, it means that we can convert a room that a patient is in to transitional care. So they're able to stay in our hospital while they wait for their next placement to a long-term care facility of sorts. So during that transition, rather than being cared for as a hospital patient, it would be more along the lines of rehabilitation services and other things that help them continue to get well.
So that bed then would not be counted as part of the 25-bed critical care hospital bed
correct
number.
Correct. Okay. And what's nice is that not only do we have those patients, but some of the other hospitals, such as, say, Kootenai Health, might be in a position where they're waiting for placement and their hospital is, you know, big and busy and getting full. We could be a support to a larger acute care center, such as Kootenai Health, to be a place where some of their patients could come and spend time here.
So is this part of the hospital separate from the 25-bed, or do you just change the room designation at that moment?
You just change the room designation.
Okay.
So it would still fall in. And one of the things to note, that it is rare that we do bump up against that 25-bed limit. And during COVID times, of course, that was different. But our chief nursing officer and her staff do a very good job of finding placement and making sure people are getting to where they need to go, so that we are able to keep that under the 25-bed limit.
Do you ever see that the Bonner General Health System would create a not just transitional, but the next stage of rehabilitation?
So we're not
center.
We're not in talks to do that at this point,
okay.
But one never knows what the future might bring.
Well, you said that we do not have necessarily all the facilities available for that need in our,
you
know, as people need that.
Absolutely.
What we have, a few.
Yes. And good ones, too.
Yeah.
I'd add.
Oh, yeah. So, your call, do we want to talk about, I think when you were talking about all the imaging, it came to mind, those are incredibly expensive pieces of equipment. We have a second CT. We have two mammograms available because of the need.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you finance a system like this that is evolving as we speak? The needs for equipment, the needs for personnel.
Yep. That's a great question. That's probably been one of the most rewarding parts of this job over the last handful of years. And it's been working with our foundation. They are a wonderful group of volunteers who are great ambassadors for our hospital, our health system, and willing to go out and put in the time to help raise money so that we can, you know, put capital where it needs to go to have that impact. I've been very fortunate to get to receive a couple heart balls these last handful of years. 2022 heart ball was, you know, the idea of trauma radiology. We had seen such an increase in the amount of outpatients coming into the hospital, as well as ER patients coming in, that it was becoming a little bit difficult to navigate the table time for our CT scanner as well as our x-ray machines. So we needed to get a third x-ray machine. We needed a second CT scanner. These were huge things. The foundation was able to completely fund one of our x-ray rooms. And then we had a team of people working on grants, and we were able to secure multiple grants in order to provide the space for that second CT scanner. However, with every project that comes, there's always the dominoes that fall. And so once we secure funds, where does that second CT scanner go? Well, it was very evident that it needed to be very close to the ED. It needed to be next to our current CT scanner, which means we needed to move ultrasound across the street. And we also had a need. There was a secondary need. Mammo had been full. We had completely reached our max for how many patients we could get in every week in mammography, and it was growing. So,
and you don't want to wait 5 weeks
get
in people away.
Exactly. So the backside of that project was to create a new imaging center on the second floor of our HSB building. That we moved our mammo machine into that. We moved ultrasound over. We moved bone densitometry over to that space. And then we also had a secondary suite made because we knew we were going to need to drop in at that second mammo machine. So by the end of 2022, we had our x-ray machine in, a second CT scanner in, and then we started working on the next project, which was to put in that second mammo machine, and that was Heartball of 2023. And I will say that was probably, for anyone who was at that event, that was one of the most moving shows of support that I've ever witnessed and felt. We were shocked by the outpouring of support for that particular project. And that particular project has had a fairly drastic impact on the health of our community. You know, now we can actually get a patient in for a screening mammogram essentially within a couple days of when they need to get in. But then after that, we can get them into their diagnostic the next day or the day after, and then have them, if they need to get a biopsy within 24 hours after that. And that's huge. The amount of stress that takes off, diagnosing those new cancers as quickly as possible to get them into treatment as fast as possible has been absolutely essential. And then on the backside of that, we now have this second CT scanner that we do a lot of cancer care follow-ups on that. And so we see restaging all the time. We have patients coming in who are, you know, hoping for that, to get that scan done so they can have that clean bill of health. And so we're able to do that without it compromising or putting any barriers in place. If you have a stroke or if you have a car accident, we have enough table time now to adequately deal with whatever the community is going to throw at us at the moment.
It sounds like a lot less helicoptering down to Kootenai also, which, you know, is extremely expensive, yeah. Almost too much. Mm-hmm. And a lot of stress, as you say, and as we mm-hmm. know, the sooner a diagnosis happens, the better the outcome. Everybody says, yep. Everyone says that. Mm-hmm. Well, I want to back up to the foundation. Mm-hmm. So what is the name of this? Is it Bonner General Foundation? Bonner General Health Foundation?
Bonner General Health Foundation, yeah. And they are an incredible group of community members. And we also, in addition, have an advisory committee that comes and meets, I believe it's quarterly, to provide additional input from the community about the direction to help guide future projects to fund, help fund items at Bonner Capital increases or capital equipment at Bonner General Health and other things. So they do two main events per year. They do the Heart Ball, which is an auction in February, right around Valentine's Day. It's always a really wonderful event. So well done.
Big fundraiser.
And then we do in the fall, we do a Find Your Strengths run, community run, a 5K. And there's fun activities for kids, but there's also the 5K family fun run as well. So we're starting to look forward to that coming up here after the heat goes. So really excited about all the great things that they bring to us.
It's a vital, important part because of what you just said. Mm. The cost would not come from service from the what you get from providing services. Mm-hmm. That's separate.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
This is to make sure the health center has what it needs to meet the need.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly.
It sounds like a lot of moving chess pieces have been happening all along, and there's stuff right in front of you that you don't even know about mm-hmm. that's next. You can anticipate, and you probably mm-hmm. do, but it's all about saving lives and providing our community and strengthening it as we go along. I just want to remind our listeners, this is 88.5 KRFY. It's our community radio station. It is listener supported. If you want to make a donation, you can go to krfy.org. There is a donate button there. And it is supported by our listeners and our community. We're a nonprofit. And I'm here this morning talking with Shannon Barnes. She is the chief resource services officer.
Human resources officer. Yes.
This is right in front of me. I could just read it. And Daniel Holland, director of imaging and diagnostic services at our community Bonner General Health Systems. It's really what we have going here, and it's really quite extensive, and I love hearing about it. And we do have a celebration coming up. We could talk about that. Now, I also want to talk about personnel and how we're moving forward and what's coming next. But it's up to you which way you want to go right now. Celebration.
Well, let's talk about the celebration, because that's top of mind for, I think, all of us. We're very excited to be celebrating Bonner General Health's birthday, 75th birthday, this Friday night from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. And we're going to have so many different activities for kids and adults, everything from live music with Harold's IGA to different tables where you can go around and learn more about some of the services. We're going to have some great recipes for folks to hand out, lots of giveaways and goodies. We're going to have some community partners there as well, doing kind of helmet fitting and those types of things. Star the Musician will be there. There'll be face painting for the kids. Our volunteer group will be there talking about ways people can volunteer in the community. And it's just going to be a wonderful, wonderful evening. Food and special dessert. So some neat things coming. We hope that we will see you all out there this Friday night.
And where will this be taking place?
This will take place at our health services building parking lot. Okay. So as Daniel mentioned, the building that's connected to the hospital via the Sky Bridge, there is a nice parking lot there right out front, and you can't miss it. It'll be set up with lots of signs and great things happening. So hope to see you.
That's Friday night from 4 to 8 p.m. at the health services building right there on the corner of 3rd and Cedar.
Cedar, yes.
Yeah. So that's something to celebrate. Anything you want to add to the celebration? Could you get your blood pressure taken?
Did we do that? I'm not sure.
No, you don't have to. Everybody has a cuff nowadays. If you're over 50, you've got a cuff.
That's right. We may add it if we don't have it.
Okay. So great. Happy birthday, Bonner General Health Services Center Systems, because it is a system of services that really support our community. And it's not just the emergency. It's not just surgery. It's really looking at proactive, they call it functional medicine, where you're looking at a lot of different things. You do your physical therapy exercises, you can avoid other things. I always tell people physical therapy is great, but only if you do it right.
That's right.
Yeah.
I'd be amiss if I didn't kind of transition and mention a couple of the new doctors that we have and doctors that are coming as well, because there's been a fairly substantial increase in physician recruiting over the last year, and it's been very successful. And I think really expanding kind of the services that you're talking about. The first is in behavioral health. We have Denise White. She is a nurse practitioner, but she specializes in psychiatric mental health. Then we have Dr. Megan Fox. She's a PhD clinical psychologist. Her main focus is serving children and families with a lot of very specific specialties. I wrote them down because they were too long of words for me to remember on my own. So neurodevelopmental disorders, mood disorders, behavioral challenges, parenting and family interventions, and psychological testing are all things that she specializes in. Huge need for us, huge need for our community. We have in this year, internal medicine officially joined the hospital, which was huge for us.
Dr. Crane,
Paige Russell. Mm-hmm. They are wonderful to work with, instrumental, and having both of them actually at the hospital makes collaboration so much easier. And then they are actually adding in another internal med doctor, Dr. Garrett Strizich. And he is actually a Sandpoint high school graduate. He and I graduated high school together in 2003. And then family practice has grown quite a bit in the last couple years, continues to grow. We added in Dr. Ranke. She's wonderful, kind of leading the charge over there. And then this year we added in Dr. Keggy. So they're accepting a lot of new patients and really trying to grow the preventative side of our health system.
Well, bravo for that recruitment. But there's more to recruit than doctors, right? For the main things, there's the support staff. You want to talk about that, Shannon?
Yeah. So a little bit about just the makeup of our employee group. We have, as of yesterday, 459 employees that work at Bonner General Health. 65% of those employees are providing direct patient care, clinical support staff. So it's a large percentage. And then we have 35% who are the support staff. So that would be groups like my department, the Human Resources Department. So we are constantly looking for great talent. We have open positions on our website, and we always have a range of positions. Everything from our environmental services group to diagnostic imaging assistants that check folks in, to technologists in lab and in diagnostic imaging, physical therapists. Our biggest need tends to be the RN positions, the nurses. And so that's been a very, very big challenge for us in terms of, and any hospital these days, in terms of just the demand that's out there and the lack of supply of folks going into the nursing fields. Some of that is just due to kind of just a lower number of folks doing that, but also some of the universities and colleges aren't able to support and supply the number of educators to educate groups. So there's usually a waiting list to get into those programs as well.
Is just to interrupt for a minute, is Bonner General competitive when they offer salaries?
So we are definitely competitive when we offer salaries. Where we have a challenge is obviously in the community we live in, which housing is very expensive here and continues to be a challenge. And so the cost of labor, which is what we offer, versus the cost of living tends to be a little bit out of balance. And that does pose a challenge for us at times. We really have done some great strategies in terms of trying to put together a list of rental housing options for folks. So if they are coming in from outside of the community looking for places to live, we can help support them with a list so they can call and check into that. So we're not unique in that. I think that's an issue with the overall Sandpoint community, right, for sure, but definitely a challenge for us.
Right. Educational providers, that it's any of the larger employers.
Absolutely.
Last week we were talking with Katie from Kinnicksu Health, and they've got a whole program. It was all about housing in our community. It's a big issue. But competitive salaries, it's really finding the people to bring in because of the lack of people going into nursing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yes. Big challenge.
And then housing. Okay.
Yeah.
What else do you want to say about that?
One other thing I'll add, and that is we really are working to grow the talent of employees that we have within our internal organization. And so we really focus on promoting our managerial team from within, which has been a very big success for us, and also growing our position or our staff that are in entry-level positions into with broader responsibility. So, for example, we might hire somebody in the laboratory department as a laboratory assistant, and then over time they can be, and we don't need them to be trained in drawing blood initially to get to be hired for that role, and then we train them. And then over time, they can take on additional responsibility and learn to be what we call a processor. So work with some of the equipment that we have in our laboratory to process samples, as well as being someone who's able to transition throughout the hospital, drawing blood as needed. So a career step there is an example of that. Same right. with surgery and other hard-to-fill positions.
It sounds like you give a lot of support for growth and development.
We sure do.
Yeah, and that's vital. Mm-hmm. Because you come in at entry level, no one wants to necessarily stay there.
That's right.
But with that support, it really also grows your core community of staff.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Shannon's been instrumental in helping create those career paths. We've really utilized them a lot in imaging as well with our technologists and ensuring that they're being cross-trained. We call them modalities. So every x-ray tech is also a mammo tech or a CT tech. Every CT tech is an MR tech as well. Every, you know, there's so much cross-training that happens to allow us to be flexible and to allow us to kind of adapt and grow, because the growth has been huge. And that flexibility is incredibly important to our success.
If you looked at the scope of where we are now, would you say this is a turning point? We're at a crossroad. We're, you know, kind of, there's platforms that you get to. And right now it sounds like there's a lot of growth.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. I think there's some key indicators that I look at, obviously, in my world. And that is, we look at turnover at Bonner General Health. And as of over the last number of years, we had seen quite a bit of turnover. And that obviously had to do a lot with COVID and the stresses that that brought. We also have a lot of long tenured employees who are and reaching retirement age. And so people were transitioning out of the organization for that reason. Well, this year, what we've seen the first 6 months is nearly half of the turnover rate that we've seen in years past. So that to me is an indicator that we are doing some good work in order to support the employees of our organization. Speaking of retirements, that's been another transition for us. Our CEO of 17 years, Cheryl Rickard, who is an incredible leader for us, had decided to retire in December. And our chief financial officer, John Hennessy, has taken on that role and is doing a tremendous job in leading our organization, following very closely in the footsteps of Cheryl with the path and legacy she's left for us. But we're taking it and continuing to grow the organization to support the community.
Fantastic. Shannon, you mentioned that there's job postings on the website. Do you want to tell us what that website is?
Yes. You can certainly go right out to bonnergeneral.org, and there is a careers section there. Open positions, I believe, is the title, and you click on that, and it will take you to the list of open positions. It's very easy to apply. If anybody's got an interest in either getting into healthcare or has healthcare experience and is looking to work here locally, I'd love to have you apply for any position that interests you and you have some background and skills that supports your abilities.
Well, what we've been hearing here is the good news about our Bonner General Health Systems services, the big scope of it all. But looking to the future, we know that we lost, I don't even know what the real way of saying this is, women's health and reproductive services had its challenges the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. I know that there's some of the services there, but not the birth and at the hospital. What's the future that you can talk about now? You know, as far as what we know, could where we're at.
Yeah, thank you, Susie. That's a great question, and I know is on the minds of many of our community members, and certainly is something that was a real challenge for us to make the decision to close our labor and delivery unit just about a year ago. That came for multitude of reasons. Obviously, changes in the Idaho law were a big part of that, but also we had some challenges internally with not having enough pediatricians to care for the new babies that were being born. We also, expense-wise, it was just a very, very costly service to offer, and we had seen the number of births declining significantly over the years. We were down to the point where we were only delivering about 265 babies per year, so not quite one a day, yet we needed to retain the same number of staff to support those, so it became a challenge. Plus our equipment was starting to need to be replaced, and so it was a real combination, but it's been a very, very challenging time for labor and delivery, not only at Bonner General Health here in Sandpoint, but also across the state. The state has seen about 22% of their OBGYNs leave for some similar reasons. And as we think to the future, in terms of what labor and delivery might look like here in Sandpoint at Bonner General Health, we it needs to be a very big push towards our community to help kind of bring that to life again. Some of the things that we are doing is really looking at growing our family practice services. And a different model could be more in line with supporting the ability to bring back labor and delivery. If we have family practice physicians that can deliver, if they're OB fellowship trained, as well as being able to care for the new infants from the pediatric side. So that's a model that could work. I will say we have not stopped delivering women's health services to the community, and that is a really important thing to note. We have a wonderful nurse practitioner, women's health focused, Lacey Burke, and we are in the process of recruiting a GYN to really support women's health within the community. Our demographic is pretty skewed towards women. 50% of our community is women in the ages of 40 and beyond. So we're looking at how do we address the needs of those women in the community, things like menopause support, other things that would support a woman's health as she moves into the later years and stages of life. Mm-hmm. So we are in the process right now of trying to recruit a GYN, and we're hopeful that we will be able to bring that service, expand that a little bit more here in the near future.
So it sounds like we did lose the labor and delivery for all the reasons you just mentioned, but it's an evolving prospect, mm-hmm. and as laws change, that may change also.
Absolutely.
And so, yeah.
And so we also still offer OB ultrasounds at the hospital. We coordinate quite a bit with a couple dedicated providers in the area. You got Katie Sweeney, you have Tabitha Barron. Mm-hmm. Kinixu has a nurse practitioner who specializes in prenatal care now, and they've received a grant from the state in order to help with that. So we're coordinating with her quite a bit. There's also a handful of midwives in the area that we see patients from as well. So we're definitely still connected to mm-hmm. those that are able to provide that prenatal care and trying to ensure that they have the resources that mm-hmm. they need in order to provide that care.
So when my son was born, I drove 45 miles to Des Moines, Iowa from Ames, Iowa to deliver. So Kootenai is not that far. I was in full-on labor during that 45-mile drive.
Well done.
Yeah. But an emergency would be different.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So that's a true emergency. Something didn't work. We can't get to Kootenai. Mm-hmm. That's still available
yeah.
for
Absolutely.
Critical care.
And we have successfully delivered a few babies this year. Our ER team is incredible. They've just received their pediatric designation. So they are fully ready in case of an emergency. Obviously, it's not ideal, but we are there as a safety net if somebody should need that.
Yeah, I have been more than impressed with their resilience and ability to provide that service and to fill that hole in those situations. It's been yeah. quite impressive.
Well, police officers can do that, too, if they have to. I mean, I've actually delivered a baby by emergency for a friend. So.
Wow.
I know, up in the woods in a little cabin.
Oh, my gosh.
So anyways, I was thinking we weren't going to be able to fill an hour, but we have. And there's so much to talk about. You should come in more often and have a little update whenever you want to. Give me a call. And just again, let's talk about what we're celebrating here. 75 years of having a growing, developing, meeting the needs of our community and seeing those needs and then making it happen. So I want to just give a shout out for the celebration that's coming.
Yes, absolutely. Hope to see you all there. And I just love to share that, we exist because of all of you wonderful community members there. And we are open ears, open hearts. So if there are things that we need to know about how we give better care out in the community, I'd love to hear from you. There's a link in to us via the website. And just really want you to know that that our roles here in the community are to provide the best health care we possibly can to you and your loved ones.
You're doing an awesome job. And Daniel?
Yeah, it's been an absolute privilege to get to spend the last 12 years at BGH. I'm looking forward to seeing kind of where this adaption goes and kind of how we can continue to fill the needs of the community.
I think there's a lot of creativity that I heard today of looking, seeing, and then doing and meeting those needs in a creative way with what we can do. And not just creative, but vital and good way, really doing that. So bravo for the work you're doing. We've been talking with Daniel Holland, Director of Imaging and Diagnostic Services, and Shannon Barnes, Chief Human Resource Officer from Bonner General Health Systems. Thank you for coming in today.
Thank you, Susie.
Thank you for having us.
The time.
Yeah.